With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
A good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ. I am in a different location. I'm in Chicago while Lance is back in studio along with RJ. They are there. We are going to be here for the next 3 hours, though. We have got a lot to talk about with our Astros bouncing back again. It is so good, Lance. Alex Bregman, to see Alex Bregman, is so good. I mean, that cog in the middle of the lineup has been so important during this 5-6 year run now that the Astros are on. And to see him, I don't know if he's got that 2017 swagger back, but to see him being as aggressive as he was yesterday, to putting as much wood on the ball as he did yesterday, with Yordan after him, whatever bat they pick up, Uncle Mike coming back, Altuve, Tucker, Pena, you can possibly fight off the Benintendi signing with the Yankees and maybe, you know, play. Listen, what you're going to have to do at some point is score a bunch of runs against the Yankees. It's not going to be a 2-1 game every single time. There's going to be 9-8 and, you know, 8-7, those kind of games. So you're going to have to score runs. And to see Alex Bregman the way he was last night brought back some memories, no?
No, it was a good game. I mean, it's funny. The month of July has not quite been as good as people probably think. How do you think he's done in July? Because it feels like he's made a nice comeback, right, from where he was. And we've talked about it. He's swinging a bat better. He's much more comfortable. What do you think his slashes are in July?
No idea. Give me.
What do you think the batting average would be?
I'd say, well, since you're saying this, probably 245.
Okay. On-base percentage?
On-base percentage is probably going to be 325.
And then slugging?
Slugging is probably going to be 440.
Or I could just say OPS. What do you think his OPS is?
OPS is going to be 730.
He's got a 768 OPS and a 239 batting average for the month. He does have 4 home runs, which is the most in the month. But, you know, he's 239 and 768. In June, he was 273 and 822. It was really June was that month that he made what I consider the big comeback, because it was really a lot better. And those numbers, by the way, 273 and 822 are the best numbers that he slashed in a month this year. And that would have been, frankly, a kind of a blah month for him, just a very average month in years past.
Yeah.
Right now, it counts as his best month of the year. So, you know, Bregman had a really good game yesterday. We're still not looking at his July splits, because somebody brought this up to me yesterday, and I'm like, wow, I didn't even recognize those. What do you think he hits against lefties and righties, if you had to guess?
His splits, lefties and righties?
Yeah.
His
batting average is 241 this year.
Right, his batting average is 241, probably 270 against lefties.
Okay, and righties?
Be around 220.
He's 275 against righties, 183 against lefties.
Wow.
Yeah, his OPS against lefties, and by the way, that's 126 at-bats, is 575.
Wow.
I don't know what it is, but that is a big issue against left-handers. When you're hitting 575 and 126 at-bats, and you're hitting under 200.
So the whole theory about bringing in, going righty-lefty-righty, is he destroys it. Because if he can't hit lefties,
right,
you bring the lefty in to face Bregman, then the lefty faces Yordan, then the lefty faces Tucker, which he should be in the lineup is fifth, unless Dusty's screwing around. So you've got three guys that struggle, although Tucker is pretty even against righties and lefties. His splits on righties and lefties is pretty even. But if I'm a manager and I look, I go, wow, I'm not waiting to bring in a lefty against Yordan. I'm bringing that lefty in against Bregman, and that's a problem.
Yeah, but here's the problem is that historically it's I'm looking at the numbers historically, and Bregman is consistently over 300 and damn near 1,000 over the last, before this year, over the 5-year period before then, slaughtered left-hand hit.
Well, then that's the big difference in his season this year.
Yeah, I mean, 2019, 350 with an 1186 OPS. Even last year, when he hit 270 and had a 777 OPS, he was 300 with an 839 OPS. So he's hit left. I don't think major league managers are going to look at Bregman as a guy who can't hit lefties, because historically he's been very good. I think history will trump that, but for whatever reason, this year it's been a struggle for him, and he just doesn't put two big months back to back, and it's one of those things that we're still waiting on. With that said, what he did yesterday, we've seen games like that where he all of a sudden Alex Bregman looks like quote unquote old Alex Bregman, and he has games like that.
Yeah.
And once again, the friskiest team in all of baseball, the Mariners, who had won 17 of their last 20, now have won 17 of their last 21. Guess who their four losses are against?
I can't guess.
They
can't, who?
They can't beat the Astros. The Astros are their evil empire.
Who? I can't guess. Who is it?
I accidentally gave it away, but it is the Astros. Yeah.
Oh, it's the Astros.
Yeah, 17 wins of their last 21. They do have four losses, and they happen to come against one team.
Team
would
daddy.
Be the Astros. And yesterday, with home run and three RBIs and two hits, Alex Bregman, the same guy we've been talking about, this, not necessarily glowingly in this segment, he's the guy that had the big game. And if they can get him just cranked up to some kind of consistent level, what I want to see, John, is I want to see that 900 OPS Alex Bregman again.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you want to see come back, because that's what he's getting paid to do.
Well, let's hear from Bregman after the game. A big game, and it's got to feel so good for him, because he knows he's struck. He knows he hasn't been that same guy. Here he is after his big night last night. Oh, hey, RJ. RJ is finding it.
Yeah. Before we do that, before we even hear from him, have you noticed that every time he's asked questions, I want to see him so cocky that you say something. Like, I want to see him get back. It used to be where he would have his sunglasses on and this picture of him on a jet with his drippy Coke white shoes on. And he's, you're just like, he is so bro. And it used to annoy people. Now I just feel like he's walking around in some Skechers, He's got his Skechers on with his progressive glasses and his, pants just pulled up a little too high. I want to see Bregman get back to Insta Bregman. That's what I want to see, even in interviews. And I never get that vibe even in the interview.
Let's see if he was like that last night.
All right.
It's just good to see you on your feet in the night to come out to play defense. Can you take me through what happened on that collision, scary moment?
Yeah, this guy kind of landed on him, my knee kind of shot in. So got checked out. I think I'm good. So just happy we got a win. And
two-run home run in the first, but the big at-bat there, the go-ahead in the eighth inning, a guy throwing really hard. How were you able to drive that one in?
Just fortunate to put a good swing on a tough pitch. He's a good pitcher, and I was just trying to battle and put something in play, and was fortunate enough to come through. I want to send a shout-out today to Dan Columbus. He's in the hospital right now. I'm thinking about him all game long, and I hope he comes out of surgery great.
And just finally, this team's ability to be able to put a bad game behind or a tough series behind you. How do you guys do that?
you know, I think we just are good at turning the page and moving on to the next day and worrying about the next pitch. And I think guys just do a really good job of preparing. And I love playing on this team, love being in there with these guys every single day competing. And I'm excited for this team for the future, and we got to keep going.
Well, one thing's for sure, we know who he's working with in the offseason, Craig Biggio.
Oh, yeah, he got his blah, just non-answer.
Those answers are so Biggio.
They are Biggio. But listen, I don't want Dan Columbus to stay in the hospital any longer than he has, he has been in there.
Right.
But if Dan Columbus is inspiring Breggy, I mean, maybe a toenail surgery or something he could get, or I don't know, you know, some kind of cleaning up his elbow or something. If that's going to inspire Breggy to hit like that, you know, do your part, Dan Columbus. Do your part.
Yeah.
Because he was in the hospital, and Bregman was thinking about him the whole game and hitting homers and doubles. So I don't want any harm to befall Dan Columbus, but little stuff, maybe some Botox.
I mean, I don't know if it's that.
Well, that's what he said. He said, I was thinking about Dan Columbus the whole
time. I don't feel like we have to wish him to stay in a hospital.
Well,
maybe Breggy just stay more aggressive and earlier in the count.
Well, that's too.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, get some Botox. Get you in the and maybe an overnight stay of Botox or something.
I'm a grown-ass man. Why do I need – I'm 34 years old and I'm not getting Botox anywhere.
Well, okay, something. Maybe clean up your elbow. There's some floating particles in it. Let's
do
something.
Well, now it's more like you're just being superstitious.
Well, no, if this is inspiring Alex Bregman – now, best of luck to Dan Columbus. I don't know why he's in the hospital, but Alex Bregman was thinking about you the whole game, and Alex Bregman was raking. So I don't know, Dan Columbus, what kind of hold you have on Alex Bregman, but keep it right there. Maybe and listen, again, a little something, a little maybe clean up the knee, a little something that could help the team. That's all right, all right? I don't wish any bad luck. Some toenail surgery, you know what I'm saying? Something, clean up the toenails. Whatever it is, Dan Columbus was the inspiration last night, and we need more nights like that out of Alex Bregman, that's for sure. We got training camp started.
Let's get Ryan wants to talk about Alex Bregman. Let's get him in on the first segment real quick because it's topical. What's up, Ryan? How we doing?
What's going on, fellas? Man, it was good to see Breggy do his thing last night, but, you know, maybe my take on Breggy is maybe, you know, it's because he got married. Maybe the wife took the drip away.
Yes. There
maybe
it is.
You need to sit the wife down during the 162 and say, hey, look, what you're doing during the 162, we need Edgy Breggy back. Whatever you're doing, you need to stop. You need to stop it. Maybe we'll get Edgy Breggy back. Hey.
You know,
this is not the first time that a marriage has really, you know, derailed a career, a sports career. I mean, we've seen it plenty. Alex Bregman, I mean, this is nothing new. This has happened before in sports. You have to overcome this. You have to be able to overcome marriage in a sports career. It's something that has to be done. And Alex Bregman, maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe they got an argument last night. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. All I know is that we have to be able to overcome marriages for our sports stars. That's all. And it's an epidemic, really. How many times have we seen this?
When were they married?
Look at Ricky Fowler's career, Jordan Spieth's career.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's
there's too much smoke now not to comment on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been a guy who've always tried to say, no, you've pushed back on it. Now you're starting to realize it's a real thing.
Well,
I first noticed it with Andre Agassi, and now I've noticed multiple
times.
That
marriage was a disaster.
Yeah.
So, but my big thing is you got to get married. You got to get rid of the first wife in a hurry. Get to that second marriage, which that's always the best marriage, and maybe that'll help his career. I don't know. That's all I'm saying. You got to get out of that first marriage. All of you out there that are driving around, still in your first marriage, I'm telling you, it's vital. Get out of it. The second marriage is always better. I don't care if you've been married for 55 years. Shut it down. Shut it down. Get to that second marriage.
I'm reading about his wife, and it's one of these
She's
pages.
She's a very nice person. I sat behind her in the playoffs.
Well, have you ever seen the pages that are created by bots, like they scrape information on the internet, and it just looks like someone who speaks a different language is trying to write things in English. This is an example. Alex Bregman's wife, Reagan Howard, is probably one of the most famous wives of MLB players. She is the beautiful wife of favorite MLB player Alex Bregman. Howard caught the world's attention after she sued the Texas resort. Semicolon. She married over an $80,000 wedding deposit. An entrepreneur by occupation, Reagan is a perfect example of beauty with brains. Besides, she and her husband have launched a clothing line. It is hard to believe, but this bombshell has a son who is already 5 years old. However, their son was born before they got married. Furthermore, on many occasions, Howard is seen supporting her husband and every time stands out amongst the thousands in the crowd and shines brighter than anyone. What? Oh. Is China writing stuff about all of our players or Russia and putting it on the internet? What kind of bot-ass website, playersbio.com, is this? Today maybe we dive into the life of Reagan Howard's. Here, maybe, we discuss her career, love life, husband, and many more. And I've got her measurements. I don't know how they would have her measurements, but they've got her body measurements on here listed. They wouldn't possibly know that. They've got her weight. I mean, come on. This is the most ridiculous page I've ever seen. What is her build, John?
Maybe,
hourglass.
I know.
You
I
didn't
did.
Know? It's no listed idea. In here as hourglass.
Not guessing that one.
Profession, enterprise business development and customer enablement specialist. This website is the, and I've seen a few of these before where clearly it's some bot is scraping data from the internet and then they create their own bio. I've seen one on me before. It's the creepiest. I need to see if I can find one on you.
Find one on me. But first, find a better business in QC Kinetics.
I don't know if I'm going to. As a matter of fact, they reached out yesterday. We're getting a ball rolling. My wife is going to go in for the free consultation. We're going to take a look at, I say we, I'm not doing anything. QC Kinetics is doing this. We're going to take a look at the wife's knee. Wife has, she's been diagnosed with bone on bone, you know, grade 4 loss of cartilage. But they're going to see exactly what's going on. I'm going to have the experts do that. They have not said that at QC Kinetics. So we want them to get in there with everything they do because here's what happens. QC Kinetics, what they specialize in is regenerative and restorative medicine. All natural biotherapies. This is what so many different athletes have used for a long time. I remember when Tiger did something like this. It was either his shoulder or back over a decade ago. Now we have a lot of different places, QC Kinetics does, around the country, and they have them even here in Houston. And you can look up their ratings and reviews. They're very, very high. The success rate has been very, very high. And the reason is they use these therapies to take your own, you know, healing elements in your body. They hyper-concentrate them. They put them back in the aching joints. So people with chronic shoulder, back, knee, hip issues, these are issues that you don't have to just get surgeries on or get shots, you know, drugs, downtime. They can eliminate that at QC Kinetics. It's truly amazing. So what you need to do is give them a call at 713-913-5285 and get this medicine that actually can work at restoring the damaged tissue in your body. 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
That is the wildest live spot I've ever heard.
What?
It's
what?
Actually not the wildest. It didn't get wild until the very end. Maybe you could, get someone and enslave them today. I don't even know what you were talking about. I'm writing a note about DK Metcalf's new contract extension, and I'm like, hold on, what did John just say about enslaving someone through John? Is this a John Clay Wolf? Like, what is this commercial for? Twitch likes it.
Listen, if somebody owes you, now you own them. You own them. That's what I was trying to get across there.
And then even you came back. Okay, well, look,
it's not good to enslave people. It's not good. That's all I'm saying. It's not good.
Here's Twitch.
But if somebody owes you now, they got to pay back.
Jeez. JG is off the chain this morning. Is he hitting the Coors Light already? Johnny working on enslaving without getting canceled already? He hasn't stopped. That's a Coors Light reference.
It's a little early. It's a little early for this, okay? Maybe
you,
I was up
you,
a little
You really
late.
Were going more for the indentured servitude angle?
Well, I was going, you owe me. That's it.
Yeah,
that's,
you owe me.
You owe me, so I own you. You owe me, so I own you. That's it.
Yeah,
that's what I was going
I
for.
I mean, that's more like the owing when you owe the mafia or something.
Right.
Or you owe,
well,
like...
I'm Italian. That's how we owe.
Yeah,
you owe people, you owe.
Like, usually when you owe somebody, it's just a favor that you repay. It doesn't right. involve an indentured servitude or an enslavement.
Right. Well,
it's
yeah,
more
maybe
like,
I took
hey,
it.
Hey, you remember when I did that for you? Can you do this for me? Yeah, sure.
Well, maybe I took it a step too far.
Yeah, and even you recognized it inside the spot. Because you came back and you said, you know what? Hang on. Let me go back on something I just said.
You really shouldn't enslave people. That's what
yeah,
I said.
That's what you... I mean, you caught my attention so quickly with that. I'm like, what in the hell? What's he doing a commercial for? RJ, what's he doing a commercial here for? How did this come up? That's how I was looking at that. JG, John Granato's Handmaid's Tale origin story.
Started with GimmeTheVin.com.
You owe me.
And now I own you.
Yeah. JG in his mafia mood this morning. You are in Chicago.
Yeah, I am. I'm in Chicago. That's right.
You are
for
in
the
Chicago.
Family picnic. This tomorrow is the family picnic. Okay.
Now that sounds like, is that code for something?
No, it's not. But we're Granados. My dad's mom was a Cristiano, so the Cristianos and Granados, there were 13 kids that they had. So there's Granados and Cristianos all over the city, all over the world, and we're getting together tomorrow out in at the Forest Preserves, and, you know, games and fun and barbecuing and all kinds of stuff. So it's a nice little family.
By the way, people are saying just because you're in the trunk of a Lincoln doesn't mean you're enslaved.
No. Well, don't put people in the trunk of a Lincoln. That's not – see the message, how the message gets distorted?
Hey, why don't you come into the family barbecue tomorrow? Is family barbecue, quote-unquote, is family picnic or family barbecue – is that like where somebody gets made? Is that a term that you use where somebody's a made going to be a made guy?
No, there's nobody being made tomorrow. It's just
oh,
a
really?
Nice
the Granados
picnic.
And the Cristianos.
We're
going to
play volleyball and softball, and we'll play some cards. And yeah, that's what it is. It's not anyone's getting made. That's
I own you. How many times did Granados say that to other kids growing up?
You
owe me. By the way, I'm watching The Offer. Holy crap, is that
I told
good.
You.
Holy crap, is that good.
It's the best. I love
it is
that
really
series.
Good. It's really good. I'm on Paramount Plus to get it, so I'm trying to get through it in a week so I can cancel Paramount Plus without having to pay anything.
Right.
So I'm watching, and then I finished watching The Americans again with my wife. My wife tried to rush through. She saw that it was leaving. She really wanted to see it, so she watched 6 seasons in 2 weeks. A little over 2 weeks, about 16 days.
Now, that's a great series, though. I mean, you can
it's a phenomenal series. She binged the crap out of it, which is something she doesn't do.
Right.
And because it left last night at 2 a.m. this morning, 2 a.m. Central, it left. So she's been on this mad dash because it was going to leave Prime. Then it turns out it's just going to Hulu. So she didn't even have to do all this. She's been on our vacation. She'd watch 5 episodes, a day.
It's so good. Did she finish it?
Yeah, she finished it last night at about 10 o'clock. But yeah, I found out yesterday afternoon, like, wait a minute. This is literally going to Hulu tomorrow. You've been doing all this for nothing.
Well, it's worth it, and you're gonna love. I mean, the offer.
Man, the offer.
The
good.
Offer just is. It doesn't stop.
Miles
Everybody
Teller
out there.
Is,
if
is,
you
is
are a little
right
bit
now.
Older, you remember The Godfather. Watch The Godfather first, and then watch The Offer, and all those parts, all those movie scenes that you remember. My wife and I argued about this. She said, "No. Watch The Offer first, and then watch." And I said, "No, because you don't even know what they're referring to."
Wait.
You gotta
wait.
Watch The Godfather first.
I never thought about that. Watch The Offer first, then The Godfather.
No,
that's interesting angle, though, JG, because you. You see everything that went into it.
But you don't. You get all the little references. You don't even know what
I know.
There's a
That's
lot
the
of
problem,
stuff that you don't have any idea what they're talking about.
But in Wendy's way, when you watch the show, you see what Francis Ford Coppola went through and Mario Puzo and Al Ruddy. I never heard of Al Ruddy. I didn't even know until I watched the show that I didn't realize Francis Ford Coppola helped write it. I thought it was just based on Puzo's book. I had no idea.
Well, they wrote the script for it, the movie.
Yeah, but
script.
I didn't know he wrote the script too. That Francis Ford Coppola did. Did you?
No. Did you know that Al Ruddy wrote The Longest Yard?
No, I didn't know Al Ruddy. I didn't even know who Al Ruddy was.
I didn't either. Al Ruddy has got Oscars.
Al Ruddy started Hogan's Heroes.
Started Hogan's Heroes. Wrote kind of a pretty and look at it out of nowhere. He just said, "Hey, I want to be a producer." Okay, here's the biggest thing we ever had, The Godfather. Now go get it. Now go do it. Okay. I mean, it was a different time.
It is crazy. By the way, we may get a call from Bob Evans on a mobile later.
Bob Evans on a mobile?
Yeah.
Oh, really? you're gonna. That's such a. If you haven't watched The Offer, you're not going to get it. Bob Evans on a mobile cannot be done.
But if you have watched it, you sure will.
Yeah, well, the voice that he does for Bob Evans.
Bob's a different guy right here.
No, you can't.
Hey, I think we're going to do some really great things here before the trade deadline. We got to see what we're going to do here before the trade deadline, baby. Astros going to pick up Josh Bell. Wait, somebody get me Josh Bell on the phone. We're going to see what we can do with Josh Bell. This is... really great things that we're going to do here.
There's too few people that know who Bob Evans is.
Somebody tell me the Houston Astros are going to make a trade for Josh Bell. That's going to be great, but I need somebody with more snap, with more pizzazz at the plate.
Bob Evans,
that you might have overdone it a little. I don't know how Bob Evans talked, baby, but all I know is I was kind of sick of his nasally,
yeah,
that nasally was, voice of his.
The actor who played that is, yeah. But it's a good show to watch. I think you have to get on Paramount Plus to watch it.
So yeah, you got to. But so good. Listen, so I'm telling you all.
Yeah, do what I'm doing.
It's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, series. Of course, it's all that stuff that I love. So
yeah,
it's about
no,
the Godfather.
No, but it's based on fact. I mean, Al Ruddy's the executive producer of this show.
Yeah. No. And they got and then you watch the post show stuff. It's really interesting.
Oh, they have that too.
Yeah. All right. I know this. Okay, so when we come back, Texans training camp and some thoughts. And Greg Cosell went overboard. And we'll hear what he has to say about our quarterback. It's unbelievable. And that's Greg Cosell, who is one of the foremost authorities on football in this country.
No, he is a film aficionado. At NFL Films is where he
works. And wait till you hear what he says about our quarterback. Right now, though, I can tell you this. Out at the family picnic, there's going to be... Now, I grew up delivering beer here. My uncle owned a distributor.
Messages.
A Stroh's distributor here. You don't know what Stroh's is. We had delivered Heineken and Stroh's and all that. But as soon as I got to Coors, my dad owned a bar here. I remember when I was young, and the first Coors delivery came to our store, and everybody was so excited because you just didn't get it east of the Rockies, east of the Mississippi. You just didn't get the beer. Now it's all over, obviously. And I couldn't have come soon enough. And listen, I'm going to be drinking. I ain't drinking. You know, the Granados are going to be there with their beers. I'm going to be drinking my beer. It's going to be Coors Light because it's the world's most refreshing beer. I got to keep Chicago chill now. I've done my part in Texas. I'm keeping Texas chill. Now I'm keeping Chicago chill with Coors Light. That's what I'm going to do. And they can't, you know what? They might be looked at as a traitor in my family because I strayed from their beer. Tough toenails. I'm fighting for the other side. I'm fighting for Coors Light every single day of my life. I'll fight for Coors Light. It's the world's most refreshing beer. But you know what? Take your stand. Stand your ground. Coors Light, baby. Keep Texas chill.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Live from Chicago, Lance is in studio with RJ as the Texans get training camp underway. Now, the biggest question this season is Davis Mills. It's not a question as far as Greg Cosell. Greg Cosell, who was on our show, and I don't know, is he coming back this year, Lance? I hope he is.
Yeah, I think we're going to have Greg Cosell.
Man, what a great, great, great football. He is unbelievable in his knowledge, his breakdown of tape, his analysis of everything football. He is fantastic. So when we have him back on, it was just great to have. He was one of our best guests last year, best guests that we've had, and hopefully he'll be back again this year. He was on. Who was he on? He was on a podcast. And do you know who it is, RJ? What podcast was he on? Ross Tucker's. He was on Ross Tucker's podcast. And listen to what he's asked about Davis Mills. He's Davis Mills versus Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's what Greg Cosell had to say.
I watched a ton of his tape a couple of weeks ago, and I really came away very, very impressed with Davis Mills. He's far more talented than Garoppolo. I thought he played extremely well. He has, you know, when I look at a quarterback, I start with the way in which he drops and throws. Repeatable mechanics. You know, that's one of the things, and I'm not comparing Mills to Tom Brady, but that's one of the things that has made Tom Brady so great. It's repeatable mechanics. We never talk about Tom Brady making off-platform throws, right, Ross? You know, I just watched a ton of Justin Herbert, too, this week. He doesn't make off-platform throws either. So it's repeatable mechanics. That's a strength of Mills' game. He also showed the feel to make the right kind of throw. He was very compact with his delivery. He kept his front shoulder closed until he delivered the ball. He saw things well and clearly. He was precise with his ball placement. I came away from watching Davis Mills feeling like this guy could be a very good NFL quarterback. And his knee injury is healed because he didn't play with a brace this year as he did his last year at Stanford, which concerned a lot of evaluators. But he's not a runaround quarterback, but he has more than functional mobility. And I really like the fact that he understood when to be patient and when to be aggressive throwing the ball, depending on down and distance and field location. I came away extremely impressed with Davis Mills, and Garoppolo would not be an upgrade. He would be the backup in Houston.
I mean, let me tell you something. That's a really strong comment. It was funny when I evaluated him coming out. You only have 11 starts, so you can see things he does well and what he doesn't do well. But 11 starts is not enough to learn how to play a position. It's just not. And, you know, that's why guys like Dwayne Haskins end up he plays 1 year in college football. It's not surprising he was not ready for pro football. And, of course, I don't know that he had the football character that was necessary. But Davis Mills, you know, for me, I thought he had second round, a late second round type guy. But the problem I have with Davis Mills is that there's certain things that I just couldn't project. Like, I can't project certain things. It's not that I didn't see him, but it's not like he can't do them. You just don't know. He just hasn't played enough football for you to know. That's anybody who's started that few games in college football. But the talent was there, the arm talent. But, you know, the elements that make a good NFL, arm talent really is almost, if you have that check mark, fine. That really is not an indicator of if you're going to be an NFL quarterback. Mostly it is about accuracy and it's about poise and it's about the quickness of making decisions based on what the defense is doing. That's pretty much it.
Well, how about this? I mean, he just got better as the season went on.
Yeah.
His last three, four games, he was an NFL quarterback. Now he's got an offseason where he knows he's the guy. He's got an offseason where everybody's looking to him. And as from leadership, he's been a leader. He's been there. He's a workaholic. He loves the game. he's walking into a situation with confidence as opposed to trying to win the job, coming off of a senior year or his last year at Stanford in which, you know, he only had 11 games into the league where he's never played before. Now he's got some under his belt. I'm telling you, I mean, I've been saying this. I really, really think that Davis Mills has a chance to be a really good, a good quarterback in the NFL. This ceiling that everybody puts on guys, I don't know why. Why? Because, I mean, Brett Favre was a second rounder, Russell Wilson a third rounder. I mean, there's I'm not putting him in that category. All I'm saying is, just because you're not drafted first overall,
right,
doesn't mean that you have to have this Jimmy Garoppolo ceiling.
But here's the thing: Brett Favre was a known commodity out of USM. Russell Wilson, you know, we saw him operate not just
yet they lasted in the draft.
That was a 3-year, 4-year. He was a 4-year quarterback. You know, all these guys, we knew about him from college. What did you know about Davis Mills? It was a bad Stanford team that he played on, and he was basically the starting quarterback for 1 year.
What did you know about Tony Romo when he came in?
Well, I didn't know anything about Tony Romo either, and Tony Romo took time for him to come on the scene.
But just because we don't know him, and everybody's got to put and when Davis Mills plays really well this year, God forbid don't get hurt. Goodness gracious, let's see you play. We got to see Davis Mills play. But when he plays really well this year, everybody's going, "Oh, well, I said he was the second best quarterback. Now I ranked him 35th of all the quarterbacks in the league, but I still said, remember when I said he was the second best rookie quarterback? Remember when I said that?"
I can tell you this though. On the flip side of this, Davis Mills is going to start having some pressure develop, because the way that people are talking about him, and it happens on this show, it happens, I see it on Twitter. You know, I'm a guy that when I saw Davis Mills last year, I saw some good, but I didn't see enough to say, oh, he's the guy. I mean, I think there's still a lot more. People are talking like, oh, he's the guy. Greg Cosell's talking like he's absolutely the guy. That gives me great confidence to hear Greg Cosell say it, but I will say this. I haven't seen enough to say definitively, oh, I feel strongly that Davis Mills is the guy. I still don't know about that. I saw
flashes that when I went, wow. That 20-yard out. Wow. Or reading and going through his progression and hitting the third guy, or that pinpoint throw to Cooks or Conley. I mean, pinpoint down the field, 40 yards down the field, a perfect throw. And I was like, wow, he's got something, you know? And one of the things that we made fun of it was his poise. It was always, you know what? He threw three interceptions, but boy, he came right back.
I thought the poise is a big.
But and Cully kept talking about, we like his poise. Well, then there is something to that. You know, a guy who's not afraid of any situation. He walked in there, wasn't afraid of the situation when Tyrod got hurt. He goes right in there. He sucked. It was bad. But you know what? He got lit up and he got hit. And you know what? He didn't change his face. It was just, okay, next play. He's looking at his board on the sideline. Is okay, what's next? Okay. And it didn't rattle him. And so that's kind of a big deal.
It is, but he's starting to, like, the expectation level feels like it's really ramping up for him, so he needs to play well this year. RJ's got something.
Yeah, so yesterday we were getting into this conversation where Lance said, you know, something to the effect of, if Davis Mills has a good year, I wouldn't use one of my early, you know, high draft picks to trade, you know, to get a quarterback. You know, you keep Davis Mills. I remember asking a question on Twitter yesterday asking, you know, should Davis Mills have a good season, would you still draft a QB with your early pick? Someone did say that they would sell high and try to trade Davis Mills, because although they feel if he had a good season, that still doesn't make him an elite quarterback. Would you do something, you know, along those lines, either one of you, where you would say, if he has a good year, maybe there's some value to him where we could pick up some pieces and still try to get someone who we feel may be a more elite quarterback in the draft?
I never thought about that angle, personally, just because it takes you a while to get quarterbacks acclimated. And when a quarterback gets acclimated, the only way you would do that is if you think that the excitement level for Davis Mills is higher than the actual ceiling is for Davis. And I don't see that happening, John. But
no,
if you the only you would have to think, okay, people are maybe a little, this team's a little more high on Davis Mills than what we see in meetings and practice, and we think at best he's going to be a very average quarterback. So let's deal him, you know, for a late first rounder, and we will now have three first round picks. I don't know. I think the Texans, if teams want to trade for him, that means that the Texans have seen good things as well, that we've all seen the same
thing. Yeah.
So,
no. If he plays well, you listen, first of all, Nick Caserio can go to everybody, oh, yeah, you don't think I know my very first pick? You don't think I knew what I was doing? All of you shut up. That all everybody who criticized that Davis Mills with the number three. Secondly, I got him on the cheap for a couple more years. Right, as opposed to, and you'll get 5 years out of a young guy. But I don't know how a Bryce Young is going to play. I don't know how Stroud is going to play in the NFL. I know I got a guy that is not only playing well, but now we can build off of that. Is what? Why I'm not giving that up? No chance, no way. If Davis Mills plays well, you've done what your job. Your job is to get now build this roster with high draft picks out of that. That's not the quarterback position. Now you can get good football players that which you don't have all over the field. Now all of a sudden you're starting to build it with Stingley and Petrie and Greenard. And now all of a sudden, wait a minute, we got something going here. We didn't have to waste a high pick on a quarterback. It's the perfect situation. All right, when we come back, Jose Urquidy commented on being in trade talks. We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But I want to talk about going to Lafayette. Lafayette's just 3.5 hours down the road. There's all kinds of stuff to do. Go see downtown Lafayette. There's all kinds of stuff. All kinds of great Cajun and Creole stuff that you're going to learn. There's all kinds of nightlife that's downtown that's just so much fun. The restaurants that are downtown now are really great. Building more and more and more. And you can do it inexpensively. Hotels are inexpensive. And you got Eat Lafayette, in which you got discounts at wonderful, wonderful. And when you see these restaurants that you're looking at and the food, you go, oh, we got to go there. We got to go there. We got to go there. I loved Lafayette. I love the food. You go into little places little holes in the wall, and you're like, wow, what? This food is incredible. You can take virtual tours of Lafayette, Hub City day trips. You go to Avery Island. You can go to the Farmer's Market and Moncas Park. You can paddle along the bayou. All kinds of great stuff. Lafayette has been voted one of the happiest cities in America, and there's a reason for it, because it is awesome. You will love it. If you're looking for a great time, inexpensive time, just 3.5 hours down the road, Eat Lafayette. EatLafayette.com. Hey, Houston, Eat Lafayette.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Lamont is calling us virgins again.
It
never gets old.
This time?
Well, hey, virgins, what platform is the offer on? Hey, good morning, virgins. How are you? He likes to call us virgins.
I have five children.
Five children. You know, yeah. I mean, yeah, they're yours, I'm pretty sure.
I do things.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. I'm sure they're yours. So Jose Urquidy, okay, can we stop the Jose Urquidy's talk? Jose Urquidy has actually been right now in the rotation, it's Verlander, Fromber, and Urquidy. I don't know if everybody knows that. Urquidy's the third best starter here for the team. So can we stop this nonsense about trading?
Well, you
Urquidy?
Mean he's a good pitcher? Then don't you think that Josh Bell trade will require a good player coming back?
Yeah, okay, but why Urquidy?
Because he's a good player.
Well, no, he's a good player, but he's our third best pitcher. Okay, again.
You don't get no Josh Bell. That's fine.
Well, no, you get Josh Bell, you don't give up your third best.
No, you don't want to know. We want Urquidy. We either get Urquidy or you don't get Josh Bell.
You don't get you don't give up your third best starter.
Then you don't get Josh Bell.
Well, then you don't get Josh Bell. That's all right. Okay.
There's a lot of... I don't know, John. You got Lance McCullers. You got Christian Javier. You got Luis Garcia.
I don't know. Do I have Lance McCullers? But somebody put out, what is Lance McCullers has started 38 games in 7 years. I mean, really?
No,
do I have Lance McCullers?
True.
Are you sure about
that's
that?
That's not true.
Whatever the case, I'm going to look. I'm going to look. It's a crazy number that Lance McCullers has not
been. No, it's a low number. I will
say
that.
Yeah, it's a low number. Okay? Yes, it's a low number. And you got Lance McCullers. You started this your sentence with, you got Lance McCullers. No, you sure? Okay? Since 2015, he has made
122 starts.
He's made 119 starts. 119 starts since 2015.
Now, he has made 20 starts or more in three of his last 4 years, and one of those years was, you don't count it because it was the COVID year. 22. Now, I'm not sure that that's necessarily the
mark.
Well,
he missed all of 19.
Is 22 starts the mark that you shoot for?
No. No, his high is 28 last year.
It was last year, yeah.
And then and he started 28 games, and he's out more than half a season after that.
Other than last year, he's never started in one, two, three, four. In four full seasons before last year, the most starts he had, and he did this three times, was 22 starts.
They don't even have 19 on his bio because it's just non-existent.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. That 19 is non-existent. 14 games in 16. 11 games, of course, it was a COVID year in 2020. But and when he comes back, is he going to be Lance McCullers again? I don't know. I mean, they just committed $85 million to him, so that was nice. But I don't know that he's going to be. I'm nothing against Lance McCullers, and I hope he's awesome. I hope he's better than Fromber. I hope he's back to throwing 90 curveballs in a row. I hope that that's going to be the case, and he's a World Series hero.
I want him to mix up his pitches.
I don't care. As long as he gets, he had a lot of swings and misses against the Yankees, right? So whatever the case may be, just throw, make sure they swing and miss. I don't care. But here's the deal. I don't know that he'll be there. You just can't say, yes, you got Lance McCullers. And this whole thing about trading a starter, I don't know. I'm not, I know you gotta give up. It's gotta hurt to, but you can't have enough. I don't know if you've heard this saying, you can't have enough pitching. Especially good pitching.
No, that's true. But you're not going to walk away from a player who's coveted at the trade. This is why the Astros aren't in they aren't in trade talks for big time players very often because they don't like giving away their commodities. Not the best commodities. This is going to be something where other teams want Josh Bell as well, and I would brace you for it, Johnny, because they're going to lose one of their starters, Garcia, Javier, or. Now, the guy that I would move would be Garcia, because I think Javier has just electric stuff and just still is learning how to pitch. He had the COVID year. He had last year. This is his first year as a full-time starter other than the COVID year where he had very limited action. I think Luis Garcia has good stuff, not great stuff. And Urquidy is a good, solid veteran pitcher who understands how to pitch and has had success, frankly, in World Series. Look, there's not a wrong answer or right answer. Every one of those guys would hurt to lose. Every one of those three guys would hurt to lose. But I think the reality is we've heard so much now about, and I mean this is coming from every nook and cranny of Major League Baseball insiders. Apparently, James Click and the Astros have been extraordinarily aggressive, one of the most aggressive teams in baseball, about going and getting a player. Well, the players are mentioned most frequently are going to be Luis Castillo, a pitcher, Wilson Contreras, a catcher, Josh Bell, a first baseman. So if they are, there's a belief that they will come out of there with at least one of those players. Now, I've heard people say it wouldn't shock them if they came out with two. It would shock me. But if they come out of there with one of them, Johnny, I think we're going to be a little, if it's Josh Bell or Wilson Contreras, I think one of your starters is going. And it's going to hurt a little bit. I think this trade, if and when they make it, because it feels almost inevitable the way people are talking about it, when a trade gets done, I think it's going to hurt a little bit for Astros fans.
Listen, I'm torn on this. What have you given? You've given up Miles Straw in the past to get to get help. You gave up my You gave up Miles Straw. You gave up Abraham Toro. You gave up four minor leaguers for Greinke. You gave up what, three minor leaguers, whatever it was, for Verlander. And you know what? Those were supposed to hurt because they were good players. Where are they? What are they doing? Giving up a bona fide starter in your rotation, especially in the Garcia thing, to me is probably I'm doubtful of it because you got him under wraps for so long.
So, yeah, he's in the early stages. But here's the thing: I don't think the Astros minor league system is as deep as it needs to be to just load up the type of prospects they're going to want. And if you are truly going to be competitive, you got to have some star level prospects. You know, obviously Hunter Brown would be part of that deal. You can't keep him too. You know, you can't keep everybody and just think you're gonna pull an Abraham Toro and Miles Straw. I mean, that's not going to happen for Josh Bell. But if you did give up Urquidy or Javier or Garcia for Josh Bell, to me, it means you have to sign him. You have to get him signed. You have to have an idea you're getting him signed. You cannot rent a player with a quality starter on a playoff caliber team. You just can't do that.
You got Urquidy for 3 years of arbitration. You got Luis Garcia for a team control and then 3 years of arbitration.
But Jim Crane, of all people, the value that you have. But John, let's say Urquidy's gone. Josh Bell is your new first baseman. Lance McCullers does make it back healthy, or Hunter Brown steps into that spot. I mean, would you rather have your best arm in the minor league system step in for Urquidy and have Josh Bell as your you know, first baseman of the future, or would you rather try to figure out first base
The guarantee? First of all, you're giving up Urquidy and you don't have a guarantee on Josh Bell signing.
Well, that's what I mean.
I ain't doing a Josh Bell rental for Urquidy.
You got to sign Josh Bell.
That's it.
You cannot give up one of your core young pitchers without. Look, you did that back with Randy Johnson in '98 with Garcia. I mean, you gave up two very good minor league prospects. I mean, two of your top minor league prospects. I think your top two at the time, and then you gave up John Halama, was just kind of the guy who could step in and pull fifth starter stuff for you. But those players for the Astros, hold on.
Well, it's worth it. Listen, if you're talking about Randy Johnson, to give me 2 months of Randy, also. If Randy Johnson at 11-1, that's one thing. Josh Bell is another.
No, I don't know. The 11-1 was 1 year. If Josh Bell becomes your first baseman for the next 6 years.
That's a big if.
But if you sign him, you didn't sign Randy. You took a shot, and that's fine. But you gave up Freddy Garcia, Carlos Guillen. Those are two very good major league players. Halama was whatever, but it was a rental for Randy Johnson.
I would have done that.
And it started a downward trend, by the way, with your minor league system.
I would have done that again in a minute. You had a chance. You were the best team at baseball.
I would do that.
But you would do that
in a minute, too. If you could have a first baseman and you would give up one of your young pitchers,
but you're assuming that you sign him. Why would a guy who's going to become a free agent isn't just going to say, okay, I'm not going to have free agents.
You got a game plan. You're not just guessing on stuff. You still have conversations with agents. You get an idea of the market. It's not like these guys aren't talking to agents and getting a feel for what the market is. They've got market construct mechanisms in their analytics where they have values. They can create values for players, you know, contract values based on current contracts and based on output. I mean, I think all that goes into any decision you make. You don't make this trade unless you feel like Josh Bell is a guy that you can, or you do rent him. But here's the thing. If he's a rental, then you don't give up the pieces that we're talking about, John. And if he's a rent, and if you're not going to give up those pieces, Josh Bell ain't going to be an Astro.
If Josh Bell's not an Astro, then you knew that they were asking for too much for a 2 month player.
Yeah,
it's just too much.
Yep, that's what it's going to be. Because if he is an Astro, I think they plan on signing him with part of the money that's going to go away after the season. And here's something else we have to face this. Justin Verlander is going to opt out and get a new contract. You're going to have to pay Justin Verlander more money.
Yes. No, no, no. Yeah,
Justin Verlander's well, the $35 million a year pitcher.
We could talk about that on the other side. We did a sports map video yesterday on that very subject and what it's going to cost. We can talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.